This week on Pop of Culture, we talk with Steep Canyon Rangers.
It's great to make an album. We love it. But, I mean, day in, day out, it's live. Live shows is what we do.
Local musician Jess Jones performs in the IPR studios.
Starting out, yeah. Getting advice from any other musician who's willing to share.
And our book club gets together.
Just in general, audiobooks are our biggest thing that goes out anymore.
Coming up.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and from you. Become a sustaining member of IPR and support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Jen Blackmer. Later in today's show, local musician Jess Jones performs in studio.
Before that, we have a different musician on the line. Steep Canyon Rangers will open the Muncie Three Trails Music Series on Saturday, May 31st. And Barrett Smith is with us.
Barrett sings harmony vocals in the band. And thank you for being with us, Barrett.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Excellent. I read that y'all have released like 17 albums since the early 2000s, and I would like to know how you would describe Steep Canyon Rangers music.
Well, the band's been together for like 20 something years, you know, so it's has evolved a lot, like we all have in that time frame. Originally, the band was a straight up traditional bluegrass band, very, very much honoring the tradition of traditional bluegrass and loving that and sticking within the parameters of that, which over the years that started to fray a little bit. And we did things that bluegrass bands don't normally do, traditional ones anyway, like adding drums to the band and maybe an electric instrument here or there. So we've kind of started to morph into, you know, we're a bluegrass band at heart, bluegrass instrumentation, but what you might call more of an Americana thing these days.
Excellent. What's it like when the band's collaborating and creating together?
It's pretty exciting. These are old relationships, old creative relationships. We work really well together and have a few really good writers in the band. And then the rest of the band is like kind of a song making factory of sorts. it's almost all original music that we do. And the whole band really contributes a lot to the creation of that. And then every show is completely different than any other show. So the band really has a lot of input as to what the set list for any given show might be. It's always different. And then in the middle of the show, if we should abandon that set list and go off in some direction, because we really like to keep everything fresh. It's good. In short, it's really good collaborating with the band.
Well, that sounds amazing. I like the idea of having something you're planning to do and then just going with the vibe that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me what inspires you personally to make music? I'm just curious.
Me personally? Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of an innate, like, it's just what I do and what I always wanted to do. And so it's a pleasure to do it, you know, because I selfishly really enjoy it. And then there's a couple of more unselfish things. One, just socially, like working with a group and like with a bunch of guys who are some of my best friends and making music together. It's just a lot of gratefulness to be, you know, at this age, making a living doing that. And then to be able to impact live music anyway in a show, to be able to impact people in really positive ways, to provide a service that can be crucial, you know, to somebody's well-being in general, is pretty satisfying, motivating.
That's very beautiful. You were just talking about before too, the roots of your band were straight up bluegrass, and I've spent some time in North Carolina, and the Blue Ridge Mountains are so beautiful. Like the mountain terrain, you know, when you go back, it just feels like a friend, an old friend. And the way you were describing the music you're making just made me think of that.
That's nice. So that's where we are, and that's where our families are, and we're very much of this place for sure. So yeah, however that feels, the landscape makes you feel, we like to think anyway that our music, you know, we're so of this place that our band has, there's some similarities there, and we love bringing it to other people in other places, and we do it all year long.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about your most recently released album, like the title and such?
Yeah, well, there are two. We have a most recently released studio album called Morning Shift. It's from, I don't know, a couple years ago now. And then there's we released a live album just in the last year. So let's just say that's the latest one, live from Greenfield Lake. We love being in the studio and making albums. We're making an album right now, and it's really exciting and really fun. And we just realized somewhere along the line, for all of our efforts in the studio, which are, you know, big, great efforts, we're a live band. That's what we really do all the time. And we didn't have a really good representation of what a Steep Canyon Rangers show is like. And it's something we're really proud of. So we started recording shows, thinking we would piece together kind of this best of sampler of what Steep Canyon Rangers live show is like. And then we kept coming back to this one show from Wilmington, North Carolina, this outdoor venue that we really love playing, Greenfield Lake Amphitheater. And we just loved the flow of that show so much, and came to say, well, if we're really wanting to represent what Steep Canyon Rangers live is like, let's just release a show so that people can hear, like, this is how it goes, this is the flow of it, this is how we interact with the audience. And so yeah, we just released that whole show. We took it in the studio and kind of changed levels and did some stuff like that, but then just released the show. So live from Greenfield Lake, it's called.
I listened to it and I loved it. I know that you've done like 14 studio albums and maybe a few live, but yeah, that it sounds great. The flow, you can tell you flow when you're on stage.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what working in the studio is awesome, and making an album is such a cool piece of art to create. Mm-hmm. And just in this day and age, especially since albums, album isn't what it used to be. Album used to be everything. That's what you did. That's what you created. These days,
Theme, a story.
So much. Yeah, the art form of album it's just kind of starting the process of dissipating and going away, it seems. So it's great to make an album. We love it. But, I mean, day in, day out, it's live. Live shows is what we do. I mean, we like live on the road together and and put everything into these shows and treasure each one. And then forget completely what happened and go on to the next one. And so having a good representation of it became important to us.
Well, that's excellent. And I will say one more thing about albums. I think maybe it's evolving, like we all are. We were talking about earlier. You know what? We are so looking forward to having you come to Muncie to kick off our... Yeah, we're totally excited. You'll be kicking off our 2025 Muncie Three Trails series. And that's going to be May 31st at 7 p.m. at Cannon Commons. And I ran into Muncie's own Mike Martin of Mike Martin and the Beautiful Mess. He has worked with y'all doing some recordings, and they're really excited to open for you. And can you talk a little bit about playing in Muncie? Have y'all played here before?
I think we have. It's like I said, every show we do is really special and unique. And then we go to another place and it happens again. And there's like, you know, over the years, I'm like, yeah, I can picture playing in Muncie, but I might have the wrong spot. Whether we have or not, we're really excited about coming and being a part of the series and being there. And yeah. I'm interested. I haven't dug into it yet, but I'm interested to see who else is on that series and like what it's nice being a part of a festival or a series like that and seeing who else is doing it.
Well, I'm super excited. I'm getting to see you on May 31st, and also I will get to see you in October when you're playing with Steve Martin and Martin Short. And
oh, good.
So I'll get to see like the difference in different venues and vibes. So,
oh, great. Yeah, that's cool. That's always fun with them as well.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you today, Barrett.
You too. Thanks so much for the time.
Barrett Smith is a member of Steep Canyon Rangers. They'll be performing in Muncie on Saturday, May 31st.
Summer means summer reading season, so our resident reader, Stephanie Weekman, sat down with our unofficial book club president, Hannah Elliott. Hannah is a librarian at Jay County Public Library.
Hannah, I am really excited. It is summer reading season. I was one of those kids in the summer that used to stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a flashlight, hoping her parents didn't notice her reading. I do that even as an adult to my detriment. So I'm really excited about things. Let's start with, because it's summer, let's start with maybe some beach reads that are coming out that you're excited about.
Yes, yes. It is going to be beach read season for sure. And I am certainly looking forward to that. And so a few weeks ago, Emily Henry's new book, Great Big Beautiful Life, just dropped. And I know you and I both have read this.
Yes.
I think it would be great for a beach read, even though it's already out. I feel like Emily, all her books are beach reads. But this one was just so good. And it is a little bit different than what she's been doing. Like, there's more depth to it. It's more... I felt like there was some thriller aspect to it.
Yes.
But I just felt like it was really wholesome and like the message was really good. And I think we need that this summer. So definitely check out Emily Henry's Great Big Beautiful Life. And then if you like that one, she has a ton of other ones that are perfect for beach reads, including one called Beach Read. So yes. I think she's perfect for that. Another one coming up that I'm really, really excited about that I definitely feel like would fit is, Taylor Jenkins Reid has a new one coming out called Atmosphere. And it is, you know, in the 1980s, it's based around the space shuttle program. And basically the gist is it's like about the extraordinary lengths that we go to live and love beyond our limits. And there's some womanhood theme in there and all of that. She's great. I love her so much. I actually went on a TJR binge read earlier this year. So, you know, that I think that one would be good too. I'm looking through my list here. I have too many as always.
Okay, we can switch to a different genre.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of like romance. There's a new Allie Hazelwood coming out, which is set in Italy. So if you want to escape and you're into romance, that would be perfect for you. Allie is so popular in the romance world. If you're like me, I tend to want to read about murder and stuff.
Same.
On the beach.
Same. So, I'm a big mystery fan.
Yes. So, you know, we have some of those on the radar. I don't know if you want to talk about thrillers specifically, but those could also be beach reads if you want to.
Why not? If people need to rage on the beach through books, let's give them a good title.
Okay. So there's several coming out that I'm excited about. Riley Sager has a new one called With a Vengeance that's coming out. I have Joyce Carol Oates has a new one called Fox that looks pretty interesting. It's kind of like a cat and mouse kind of chase, you know, so that should be interesting. Lisa Jewell has one that's coming out, Don't Let Him In, that should be coming out this summer. And then if you're into the Thursday Murder book club books, Richard Osman has a new one called We Solve Murders that's different than that series, but he's supposed to be good too. And a lot of people check those out at my library, like that whole series and his books in general. So, and Riley Sager goes out all the time. So those are ones. The other one I'm really looking forward to, Holly Jackson, who did Good Girl's Guide to Murder, which is young adult, but she's releasing her first novel for adults. It's called Not Quite Yet Dead. And it's a twisty thriller about a young woman trying to solve her own murder. So I am looking forward to that. I'm curious to see, you know, because I like her YA books, like how that translates into adult content. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. For people who like audiobooks, especially the ones who check out things, you know, on the digital services, is there an audiobook that's come out recently or is about to come out, maybe read by the author or somebody famous that that you hear good things about?
So I have just recently started getting into the audiobook game, and I know it's probably shocking because I work at a library. Okay, so I double-checked myself just to be accurate, and yes. So Glennon Doyle, which if you don't know Glennon Doyle, you probably should because I think she's really great, but she did, you know, Untamed, that was really popular a few years ago. Everyone was talking about it, and then she has her podcast. But they have a new, her, Abby Wambach, and Amanda Doyle have a new book coming out this summer that's called We Can Do Hard Things. And I just, it's a guidebook for being alive. And on the cover, it's like 20 answers to life's biggest questions. And it's basically to kind of help, you know, they say fellow travelers find their way through life. But I just feel like with how stressful life is right now for us and everything going on in the world, like this seems perfect. And I double checked to make sure because I was like, man, this is an opportunity. But yes, Glennon and Abby and Amanda all are narrating that book. And I really liked Glennon's narration on Untamed. So that would be one I'm definitely going to keep an eye on, especially because, you know, I love it when the author themselves read the book, because I'm just like, I just, especially the nonfiction, biographies, all of those. I just feel like, you know, you're really getting to know someone. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. As far as like audiobooks for the spring and stuff, I mean, our just in general, audiobooks are our biggest thing that goes out anymore. Our digital collections are just constant. There's constantly long waiting lists. I was trying to, well, I had one of Emily Henry's on, I still have it on. I placed it in January and I'm still like hundreds in line. Wow. So, all of those, I really like those for narration. There's been a few that I was like, not so much, you know, the audiobook definitely is made or broken by the narrator.
Yes. Nice. The top of my to-read list for nonfiction is a book on Munchausen by proxy syndrome, so I should probably add something a little bit happier, like We Can Do Hard Things, to kind of balance the mix. For people who once we're reading outside and we're really excited and then we get sunburned and we need to come back inside, what are kind of the favorite summer programs that you have coming up at the library that we can join?
Oh, yes. So our summer reading program kicks off on June 2nd. And this summer for us, at least, our reading component is Superhero Reading League. There's going to be a kickoff party that people and adults too, but kids can come and do some hero training, pick out their hero name and do all this to get ready for the summer reading program.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, it'll be fun. I am a huge like Marvel fan and I love Batman, which is DC, which is weird that I like both, but I do. So we're doing quite a bit with that and then doing a big like block party community hero celebration at the end of summer to honor all of our local community heroes. So that's kind of what's going on with that. As far as programs, so this summer is a little different for me, being an adult in teen programs. I'm also in charge of outreach. So I'm kind of scaling back a little bit because I've had such a busy winter and spring, but we're actually going to be doing a lot more. We're relaunching our summer bookmobile. So up until, I think it was either 2018 or 2019, we haven't taken our bookmobile because we still have one out to public events. And so we're relaunching the bookmobile, which is really exciting to get out there. We'll be out in the public throughout the community. We're also doing a teen adult Stranger Things big event because we're just constantly waiting, anticipating for Netflix to release the Stranger Things final season date. We were predicting that it would be in the fall,
But we're going to do that. And it's, I'm really excited about it because it is for teens and adults, 13 plus, but it's kind of like a large size scavenger hunt meets escape room. There's some Dungeons and Dragons elements in there. So I am really looking forward to that.
This sounds awesome and also a little terrifying.
So it's not nothing like really serious. Like there's some things throughout where you're like, oh, I need to roll a D20 to see how I, you know, what my role is against this person, against the Demogorgon, or ultimately they're going to be trying to defeat Vecna to see if, you know, they can do it. And it ends on a cliffhanger because we're all on a cliffhanger waiting for season 5. Definitely come check us out for that. That will be July 7, which I'm really excited about. So there's literally everything. Just check out our calendar because that would be a whole hour conversation of everything going on currently.
Thank you very much. That all sounds fun. I'm going to have to get up to Jay County soon.
Yay.
Hannah Elliott leads the adult, teen, and marketing departments of the Jay County Public Library. More importantly, she's also the president of the Pop of Culture Book Club. I'm Stephanie Weekman.
This is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
I'm Jen Blackmer.
And I'm Michelle Kinsey. Singer-songwriter Jess Jones is joining us in the Pop of Culture studios. Jess, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, very excited to hear a couple of your tunes live in studio. But before we get to that, let's learn a little bit more about Jess Jones, the musician. When did all of this start for you? When did you start playing guitar? When did you start writing songs? Give us a little backstory.
I've been writing, I guess, stories and poems since, you know, like grade school era. And, it never stopped. I did a bunch of short stories and stuff in high school and started to learn guitar when I was, I think, 25. So I was a little later than most. Yeah. To come to an instrument that started out as just therapy. Like after work, I would just come home and it'd just be me and the guitar, and I'd kind of chill out for a while and learn some chords and practice. And eventually I got comfortable enough to try and learn songs.
Yeah. So self-taught?
Self-taught.
On the guitar?
Yep.
So really interesting that you've been a writer. You kind of get your creativity out through poetry and essay, you know, narrative, prose, those kind of things. What was it like taking it to the next level of song? Describe that process.
Awkward. I guess awkward's the best word. I wanted to challenge myself. I play in a bunch of other people's songs, and before, I guess you're a songwriter and musician, you're a lover of music first.
Right.
So you're playing a bunch of other people's songs and learning them as best you can. And I guess I just got bored, wanted to see if I could put anything I'd written to music, if it would be possible, if I could just do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play one of those for you. It started out as a poem in high school. It's on my first album. And I went back to it when I was probably 27 or 28, finished it, and put music to it.
Interesting.
Older than a kid who admit, I'm empty-handed, just waiting on the rain. I never had a part to fill, so I learned to live best inside of my brain. Strangers pass by. Hometown had never felt so strange. It's easy to ignore all the same, knowing that someday they'll fly away. I should have sat down once or twice and tell myself it's easier to go nowhere. And tell myself it's easier to go nowhere. feels in vain. You'll never get out, you just learn to drift away. But spend your time how you can. Do your best to ease all of life's pain. Should have sat down once or twice and tell myself it's easier to go nowhere. Tell myself it's easier to go nowhere. Well, if I'd seen this at the start, I would have ran until I grew a pair of wings. Would have made a new name to fly past from wherever I came.
So what musicians, what other musicians, writers who have inspired you along the way on this journey?
Well, as a kid, riding in my mom's car, it was always Motown stuff.
Nice.
And with Dad on Saturday mornings, he would whip out his old records and it would be like classic country.
Mm-hmm.
So I got appreciation for both sides of like the dark storytellers and songwriters and like the more popular and I don't want to say lyrically driven, but melody.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where it started, but... As far as wanting to create, I guess Bruce Springsteen.
Mm.
When I first started to hear Springsteen songs, when I was probably 10,
yeah,
I stole my mom's Springsteen CD and went and listened to it. And like halfway through Thunder Road, I was drawn in.
Yeah,
I was in love.
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It was that moment.
Absolutely. So all of those things kind of coalesced. They came together to form kind of your own sound. We were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but and I know it's difficult, but for those who haven't heard your music, how would you describe your sound? Because I'm sure you run into that a lot.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, so what do you do? Uh-huh. Well, I'm a musician. Well, what kind of stuff do you do?
Right. Yeah. The most broad question is, what do you play? And like, well, I play guitar and I try to sing.
Yeah.
And I play a little harmonica.
There you go.
But, yeah. You know, folky, think Neil Young, mm-hmm. think acoustic Springsteen, mm-hmm. in the veins of classic Dylan, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why is it that particular style that works or meshes with kind of your lyrics? How did those two styles, like the words, the things you're writing and that sound, how did that come together?
Probably because it's what I listen to the most.
Yeah.
And it had the biggest effect on me. And that's, you know, you write and you play what you know.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest inspiration to me musically,
sure.
was that sound. So
sure.
that's where I'm at right now. But, you know, it could change.
Yeah.
5 years from now, 2 years from now, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Inspiration comes from everywhere, right?
Right.
What inspires you these days when it comes to sitting down and writing your music?
Oh, Lord. Mostly, it's just putting in the time. Mm-hmm. Like, just planting yourself in the chair and just writing whatever comes to your head.
Yeah.
Eventually, if you do it long enough or often enough, I've found that something will come. I'll get an idea. But once in a while, I'll be driving and just get like a line or a phrase, mm-hmm. and I'll just write it down.
Yeah.
Or a title, and later I'll come back to it and just work on it.
Yeah.
A lot of time passes by. Days to go dark and bright. All the while feeling my time slip slowly from me. See them all come and go, pass by in the blink of an eye. No second chances this way. Wind blows hard in my face. Cause slowly the days go by. Years are quicker than they seem. The white lines on the freeway drive slowly away from me. gives me all that I need. Gives it, then she takes it away. Dumbstruck as she walks slowly away from me. Cause slowly the days go by, years are quicker than they seem. White lines on the freeway drive slowly away from me. Time passes by, days that go dark and bright.
Do you try to be pretty intentional about it? Do you try to write something every day, or no pressure, just wait till it comes to you?
Generally, wait till it comes. unless it's winter time, things are slow, and it's like, I need to do something because sure. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll force myself to be creative, and that's where I guess the album I'm working on right now, I think it was late November, early December. I was going out of my mind with, you know, winter boredom, And I decided to just sit down. Let's try to come up with something. And one song turned into three and then turned into eight. And like, okay, I'm proud that I've done this, you know, over the course of like a couple weeks that happened. Yeah. And they kind of fit together thematically. So I felt accomplished. Like, okay, maybe I have something here for spring or summertime. I'll just work on it steadily from here.
Yeah. Do you find that that's usually the case once you kind of get in a groove and things are going, that you start to kind of crank out more? Is that what has happened in your past albums? I should say you've got three.
Right.
That are out and available right now?
Yeah. Everything's digital. All on my website, jessjonesmusic.com. Mm-hmm. Starting out, I guess I had such a backlog of songs that I didn't have any trouble coming up with new ones. It was just more of like picking out which ones were the best for, I guess, the first couple albums for the most part, and deciding what to do, what to flesh out, and what to record. But now it's a little more digging, a little more intentional, trying to be creative.
Yeah. So what have you learned along the way? I mean, it's not as if you necessarily had a roadmap of how to do this. Like, singer-songwriter, I'm going to get my stuff out there 101, that you can just pick up and follow. So how did you kind of like learn the business? What have you learned along the way? And what are the next steps for you?
Well, baby steps. Like, starting out, getting advice from any other musician you know who's willing to share.
Yeah.
That's been key, meeting some other folks who can do recording or tell you what to look for as far as recommendations, like microphones even, or other venues to just reach out to, like, you know, they might like your sound here, reach out to them. So a lot of it's word of mouth. A lot of it's talking and networking with other musicians and just being brave enough to ask venues, hey, do you want music? Are you looking for more?
Yeah, right. See, and I just think you hit on it right there, is putting yourself out there.
Sure.
And not being afraid to do that and hitting up anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
To like, hey, you know, I've got a set full of, you know, original tunes. Sure. Do you want to hear them, or covers? Or do you find that you mix it up? Do you do mostly covers?
Mostly I do originals.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm not... Right. I couldn't do just covers, but, you know, I'll sprinkle some in there. Whatever's inspiring me for the week or for the month, I'll have two or three that'll make it in there once in a while. Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful. So what is next for you? You mentioned you're almost done with another album, right?
Number four.
Number four. Yeah. Do you have a title for that one yet?
Not yet. I have a few ideas for the title, but I haven't landed on one yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what goes from there. And I think it'll have, you know, it'll be full. It'll be 12 or 13 tracks probably by the time I'm done. I saved some from last time just to include different on a different project or you know.
You know, and I've heard it said that if you are a singer-songwriter, a musician, you've got to, and it's not narcissistic in any way, but you've got to please yourself first, or else you're going to have a really difficult time
right.
getting out there and playing the stuff if it's not something you feel really good about, and if it is not hitting something right. inside you first and foremost. Right.
If you're not writing yeah. something directly from whatever it is, wherever it comes from inside, then I couldn't see anyone else, you know, bonding with it either. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you want people to get out of what you do? And then tell me a little bit about what you get out of it. Why is it so important for you to do what you do? And what do you want other people to feel when they listen to your music?
That's a tough question right there. I guess it's therapeutic to just play it.
Yeah.
Like to have anyone want to hear it is... I don't know, beautiful in a way. It's the most rewarding mm-hmm. spiritually, I guess. But to get out of it, I hope they enjoy it. I hope it makes them think mm-hmm. maybe a little bit. I hope they realize that songwriting is an art, and it's hard-fought art, I think, especially in this day and age. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, to find people happy to sit and listen
yeah.
for those things.
Yeah. And to appreciate when people are doing, when they're putting themselves out there, really, yeah, you know, because, right. I mean, any musician that plays out, I mean, that's a not an easy thing to do, to put yourself out there
no.
like that. But then to do that with original music, that's another level.
It is.
Jess, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your music with us.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for putting up with me. It's a pleasure.
It's just a sigh from the corner of your eye. It's just a phrase whispered in the night by you. Well, I remember a time it wasn't easy to get a hint, a flood of sound. Seeing something new from here was like a feeling that being lost, like a pinprick of light on the horizon, you see it fading away from you now. Here we are, five leaves later, headed somewhere I can't see, maybe south, maybe Oklahoma. Can you come? Can you save me? You twist my arm to make a point. Perspective seems to confuse me. Gaining ground in your age, your two steps back feel like a win. Spin me around, make me feel. Don't make me regret what I see. Watch the day break across the sky. When was the last time you saw it through? Here we are, five leaves later, headed somewhere I can't see. Maybe south, maybe Oklahoma. Can you come? Can you save me? Can you save me?
Jess Jones is a musician from Pendleton, Indiana. You can see him live at Sweetwater Sound in Fort Wayne on May 28th. I'm Jen Blackmer.
And I'm Kara Duquette.
It's our regular What Are You Working On segment. We're going to listen back to a recent interview with Dennis Whitted. Today we are talking with Dennis and Sherry Whitted. Dennis is a wood turner and has a good eye for all kinds of beautiful wood. He has over 300 different kinds of wood that he turns. And Sherry makes all sorts of art. She knits, she works in diamond dots, and is very supportive of Dennis and his wood turning. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Well, I want to start by asking, can you tell us exactly what being a wood turner is about? Or how you do it?
Hard question. What's about?
Well, what do you use?
Well, what I do is I take a chunk of wood, put it on a tool called a lathe, and I just start turning. And what it does, I don't know what the piece of will be turn out to be. Like I know it's going to be like, for example, a bowl or a rolling pin or a tool. But I just start in turning, and the wood actually tells me what to make.
Oh, that's interesting. So you take the wood and you go into it knowing it will be something.
Right.
And the wood informs.
Yes, it tell me because of grain or the shape or defects in the wood. Sometimes if there's a defect, I'll have to go in and do a different type of turning. And then also sometimes like on bowls, I laminate bowls. So I take two or three different types of wood and glue them together, and then I'll turn a bowl out of it.
So I know what throwing pottery on a wheel would look like. Can you describe a little bit of how you put the wood in a lathe and what that looks like?
All right. The lathe I have, I can turn up to 3 foot in diameter. And what it is, it's got a thing called a faceplate that you mount the wood onto, and then mount the faceplate onto the lathe, and then it's got an item called a tailstock comes up and holds the wood steady. And then I've got an item called a tool rest that's part of the lathe, and you just set your tool on that, and it'll spin, and you start in just working, taking the wood off of the chunk of wood.
Okay, and are there different types of turning tools?
Yes, there's dozens of different types. They've got the round head, got the square, and then got a chisel pointed type. And then each one's got its own function.
Okay. Well, now, how do you select the wood that you want to use? Do you have so much wood?
A lot of times when I have an order in, I'll ask them, say, what type of wood do you like? A lot of people don't know all the different types of wood I have. So I'll ask them if they want a light wood or dark wood or so they choose the type of wood, and then I just go in. If they know what type of wood they want, they'll just tell me. And I've got over 300 different types of wood in stock. So I could just go in my shop and pull out that type of wood and just start turning it.
Nice.
And some of it he uses is he'll take boards, planks, what do you call them?
Dimensional
lumber, and he'll cut that up and then stack it as he was talking about.
Glue it, and then I glue it, it stacks up, and then I can turn it. So I can have a dozen different types of wood in one bowl.
Is that what you were talking about, the lamination?
Right. And then there is also, he'll take a chunk from somebody has just cut some wood. A tree came down or something. When Winchester had their tornado, there was a lot of wood around because lots of trees came down. So he would get some of that and just start turning it just to see what it would look like. And I'm kind of glad I'm married to him, because if I weren't, I'd buy everything he has and I wouldn't have any money.
Well, Sherry, can you describe one of your favorite pieces that Dennis has made?
So many, but I sure. Absolutely love box elder, flamed box elder. It is it's a deciduous tree, which means the leaves come off, and the wood has been stained by box elder bugs. Box elder bugs get into it and stain it.
It's got like a virus, and then they stain it, and it's got like red streaks through the wood.
Yes, and he's made several, but he made a solid bowl that was just brilliant. He doesn't paint anything. He doesn't stain anything. Everything is the natural wood.
Now, I remember seeing a beautiful bowl that held yarn.
Yes.
And you could feed it
through. It's called a yarn bowl. That's one of my better selling items at Fiberfest. And most of those I make are laminated, so I can make them taller. It's easier to cut when they... because of the shape of them.
And it's because it's taller, you can put yarn into it. And the bottom of it, he keeps quite a bit of wood so it doesn't move all over the place.
So it'd be bottom heavy instead of top heavy. So when they pull on the yarn, it doesn't tip over.
It stays in place. Well, can you tell us about Fiberfest? You mentioned that. Can we see you there?
Yes, Fiberfest is at Jay County.
Community building.
And it is... the date is March the 7th and 8th.
And they have all kinds of vendors, primarily for yarn goods or sewing things. And they come in and shear sheep, and then the people will take that yarn or that wool and go ahead and spin it right in front of you. And it's pretty awesome. They have weavings. They have
a lot of different classes they mm-hmm. offer there.
Well, can you give us your web address so people can find you?
The web address, it's on Facebook, and it's Witted Handcrafted Bowls.
It's on the back.
And you can go onto Facebook and see it. Most of the things that he has made at one point or another are on there.
Is there something else you want to tell us about being a wood turner?
It's a lot of fun. It gets stressed out. I've already retired twice, and I'm a workaholic, so I have to do something. So I go out there every day and start turning something. Mm-hmm. What's nice about to have my shop at my house, if I get tired of turning, I'll just go in and take a nap and then go back out and get back to work.
Well, that's beautiful.
And we live in Winchester. If you want to come and see how he does this work, they used to do it in schools. That's how he learned how to do it. But they don't do that in most schools anymore. It's not in their wheelhouse. So he can show you how to do it. He can do it. You can pick out your own wood. And it's just absolutely beautiful wood.
Well, thank you so much, for both of you, for taking your time to talk with us today.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Okay, it's time for the arts calendar, Jen.
You bet. And if it's May in Indiana, you know what's coming up, right? Memorial Day weekend in Indiana. That was really good.
Thank you.
Memorial Day weekend in Indiana, of course, means the Indy 500. Friday, May 23rd is Carb Day, with a concert co-headlining Bret Michaels and the All-American Rejects. Other events include the Indy 500 Kids Book Tour in Speedway, where families can hear stories and pick up books that celebrate reading and racing. And we must mention the Weenie 500, where all six Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles will meet up. See what we did there? For the first time in over a decade, and race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what that will be like. Both art and culture.
That is not to be missed.
Of course.
The 500 Festival Parade is in downtown Indy just before noon on Saturday, May 24th. And then Sunday is the Indianapolis 500 Mile Race. If you plan to go, your public radio station would like to remind you to pack hearing protection for the whole family. Arrive early, wear comfortable shoes, hydrate, and enjoy yourself.
And sunscreen. I haven't been watching the weather, but sunscreen mm-hmm. is always a must when you go to the race.
Yes.
Okay, for those of you not racing, happening elsewhere, it is finally outdoor farmers market season.
It is.
All right. And here's a list of markets in the area for everyone to check out.
The Pendleton, Indiana Farmers Market happens Saturdays from 9 a.m. in Falls Park.
The Anderson Farmers Market also happens Saturdays from 9 a.m. at 11th and Central Avenue in Anderson.
The Downtown Wabash Farmers Market starts early at 8 a.m. every Saturday.
And the Minnetrista Outdoor Farmers Market is from, you guessed it, 9 a.m. every Saturday until October. Get out there, enjoy some produce, treats, and the outdoor air.
I love market season.
I do too.
If you can't start your day without a cup of coffee.
That's me.
Yes. Concur. Start this Saturday, May 24th in Mound State Park. Coffee with Cardinals meets in the Mounds Nature Center. A naturalist, spotting scope, and binoculars will be available while you sip coffee and chat about the birds stopping by. Sipping and spotting starts at 9 a.m. and lasts for 1 hour. Information is at in.gov/DNR.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some bird watching,
some coffee.
Looking ahead to next weekend, celebrate the start of Pride Month with the Indie Gay Market on Monument Circle. Dozens of LGBTQ plus artists come together for this grassroots pop-up market that is open to the public Saturday, May 31st and Sunday, June 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
If you are traveling this weekend, be sure to take Pop of Culture and all of us at IPR with you. Download the Ball State Public Media app in the App Store or Google Play.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and from you. Become a sustaining member of IPR and support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. Our digital content god is August Lee, and our mortal producer is Luke Jones, whose Achilles heel is an almond croissant. This week was hosted by me, Kara Duquette.
And me, Jen Blackmer. Pop of Culture is a production of IPR on the campus of Ball State University. This week on Pop of Culture, fisticuffs. Sorry.